And very quickly, through using mushrooms, through using ayahuasca, learned that there it is access, and the traditions are alive, and the attitudes were simpatico with my own, that there were not lineages. You didn't have to pledge eternal fealty to some character, that they were exploratory in their approach. They were open-minded. Everybody admitted that nobody knew what was going on with it, that yes, they could cure, yes, they could balance their societies and act as paradigms of behavior to other members of their tribe. But what they really liked to do, these shamans, was get together and puzzle over what the hell it is. And how can it be, you know? I mean, they were like scientists. They were like explorers. They didn't have a myth that encompassed it. They had, they were technicians of myth, which they presented back to their society. And this is something that's very important to realize about shamanism as it is being packaged and sold in this society. That a shaman is primarily a theatrical entertainer, but they're not putting on the show for themselves. But in this society, people actually become actors on their own stage. The shamans do not believe, I maintain from spending time with them, shamans do not believe in the powers of magic words, crystals, healing darts, and so forth and so on. They manipulate these things the way a stage magician manipulates rabbits, hats, paws, and boxes with women inside them. They understand what it's for and how it works, and these things are manipulated to create an effect on other people. But the shamans understand that the real magic is the magic of signs, symbols, and language, and that by manipulating cueing, by manipulating expectation, you can lead people to a fundamental confrontation, not only with themselves, but with the other. And as I said last night in my talk, it is no easier for an Amazonian Indian to come to terms with these things than it is for a native of Manhattan. Ultimately, this coming to confront the other is coming to confront the mystery of being, not as a phrase, mystery of being. I mean, we all give lip service to that, the mystery of being. It's everywhere. It's in the trees, the stones, the elevators, the life of the city, the life of the country. Everything is radiant with the mystery of being. This is some kind of gloss. What I'm talking about is actually the mystery of being as existential fact, that there nature of life, this is not an experience that can ever be repeated. Or you're alone in a wilderness and you confront a flying object in the sky which seems to trigger strange bursts of thought in yourself. This cannot be repeated and triggered on command. So only in the context of the psychedelic experience and the willed decision to act can you enter this arena of repeatedly going to meet the experience of the other. And it is a very, very bizarre enterprise. It is not that if we do it enough times, we will understand it or become comfortable with it, because it is not in its nature to be understood, and it is not in its nature to accommodate itself to us. Rather, it's that we've discovered another dimension.